All right. Next on the agenda, sorry, let me get caught up here, folks, is item number four. There we go. PR 2025-020072. It's a DHO waiver application 2025-00029. As well as minor plat application number 2025-00058. CSI Cartesian Surveys, Ryan Mulhall, agent for Rose Morin, request the aforementioned action for all or portion of lot track 195, MRGCD map 35, zoned RA, located at 2929 Duranis Road Northwest between Gobeldon and Los Luceros Roads Northwest, containing approximately 0.93 99 acres in area. Miss Morin, good to see you. I'm going to assume here, it's always dangerous on my part when I do this, but will Mr. Mulhall be providing the explanation of the request?
Yeah, this is Ryan with Cartesian. I'll introduce the case.
All right, Ryan, good morning. Thank you, sir. Let me swear you in, and then if you give us your name and address for the record, please. Do you swear or affirm the testimony providing on this matter will be the truth?
I do swear.
Thank you so much. Go ahead, please.
All right, my name is Ryan Mulhall with Cartesian Surveys Inc. Address PO Box 44414, Rio Rancho, New Mexico 87174. Serving as agent for Ms. Morin. What we're looking to do is adjust the two existing track lines that are going through the main residence at this time, and moving them to make kind of more equitable lots on this overall parcel. So the lot lines would get outside of that main residence. We do ask for a deviation from lot sizing, contextual lot sizing, given we needed to meet setback standards on the south residential lot. That lot is slightly different from the contextual maximums that are allowed for these lots for the neighborhood. But that's the minimum required in order to meet the setback standards, which are more critical given the overlay that this lot falls in. We also request a sidewalk waiver along Duranis, given kind of the neighborhood character and the inability to kind of connect up to any other sidewalk on adjoining lots. There's obstacles to doing that, and it's there's no sidewalk in this area that's outside of the sort of sector character. So we've provided justifications for both that waiver request and for the deviation. We do have a private access easement leading back to these, and I can confirm that the stubs, both the east-west stub and the north-south stub, are 70 feet in width, as is required per the fire apparatus standards in the International Code. And lastly, I want to confirm that the stucco building that straddles tracks 2 and 1, as well as the structures inside of access easement 3, are going to be cleared away in order for there to not be any kind of code enforcement issues with those. And so I do have a markup of the site sketch that kind of shows that. I don't know if the verbal confirmation is enough, but I can share my screen if that is deemed necessary by any of the staff. And with that, we await comment. Thank you.
Ryan, thank you for your testimony, your comments on that matter. Let me start with Mr. Mulhall's comment there. Do we need him to share his screen, or will verbal confirmation suffice? Mr. Rodenbeck, thank you for putting your hand up. Let me swear you in real quick. You swear or affirm the testimony you provide on this matter will be the truth.
Yes, I do. This is Jay Rodenbeck. Thank you, Mr. Herrenausser. We will need visual confirmation that that building has been removed.
All right.
And this is Jay Rodenbeck again. If we don't have that visual confirmation now, we can condition that for final sign off of the plat.
Yeah, I was just going to ask. I wasn't sure if the image that was being displayed currently, which is just a street view of the subject site, I didn't figure that would suffice. I think Ms. Montoya is helping us. Am I correct there that that's the building in question, the structure in question?
Yeah, this is
Is
right with
correct.
Cartesian.
I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. But yeah, this is right with Cartesian. That is correct. We're looking to relocate the wall a little bit for that entryway and relocate the building there with the metal roof that's shown kind of centered, as well as that little wellhead sort of structure back there as well.
Okay. And Mr. Mulhall, should approval be granted, you would be okay with that as a condition?
Yeah, this is Ryan with Cartesian. That's our expectation, is that would be a condition of approval.
All right, very good. Mr. Armijo, see your hand is up. Let me swear you in real quick and then give you an opportunity to provide comment. Do you swear affirm the testimony you provide on this matter will be the truth?
Yes, I do.
Go ahead, please.
I was just going to ask, Mr. Mulhall says that he already has the sketch, if he could share his screen and show that way we can, I mean, it would still need to be part of the package, but it's just so we can see it.
This is Ryan with Cartesian. I don't know if you're seeing my shared screen here, but we're just showing the marks here of the wall and shed to be removed here, as well as the pump house here. So that was the little structure in the far back, as well as this stucco building is kind of just a little structure to hold kind of raw adobe that our client uses in our art. And so, these would all be relocated and removed in order to not cause any issues with encroachment.
You got muted, Ryan.
Sorry, I guess you can only hold the space bar down so long to talk. But this ran with Cartesian, so I'm not sure where I got cut off at, but I'm guessing it was the 70-foot
Yes.
stubs. So that's shown in both directions that we're meeting that fire code. And then again, the buildings to be removed are shown in red there. So
Okay, thank you.
thank you.
Yes, thank you, sir. Appreciate that. Okay, let me ask if there are any members of the public that wish to speak on item number 4, PR 2025-020072. If you are a member of the public and you wish to testify, if you please use the raise your hand function. I'm not seeing anybody at this point. Last call for any member of the public wishing to speak on item number 4. All right, applicant team, if you guys will just sit tight and we'll hear from our DFT members, and then I'll come back to you all for closing remarks. Mr. Gutierrez, let's start with the Water Authority, please. Sir, do you swear or affirm the testimony you provide on this matter will be the truth?
I do.
Thank you so much. Tell me about the Water Authority comments, please.
So first of all, the waiver, we have no objection. And then for the plat, no objection either. And then the note for the water authority easement is not required to be on there because they're not granting any easement. So Ryan, if you want, you can remove that. And it's not necessary either way, but it's just not applicable. So the note on the cover regarding water authority easements can be removed if you wish. Thank you.
Mr. Gutierrez, thank you, sir. Appreciate that. Mr. Ibarra, let's do code enforcement comments next, please.
Sure.
Sir, do you swear affirm the testimony provided on this matter will be the truth?
I do.
Thank you so much. Go ahead, please.
Code enforcement didn't provide any comments for this request.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Rodebeck, I'm sorry, go ahead. Oh, I thought I heard somebody say something. Okay. Mr. Rodebeck, let's do Parks and Rec. Comments, please. You swear affirm the testimony provided on this matter will be the truth.
Yes, I do.
Go ahead, please.
Thank you, Mr. Hearing Officer. Parks and Recreation had no objections.
All right, very good. Mr. Chen, let's do hydrology next, please. Sir, do you swear affirm the testimony you provide on this matter will be the truth?
I do.
Thank you, sir. Go ahead, please.
T. Quan Chen, Hydrology. Hydrology has no objection. Thank you.
Very good. Mr. Armijo, transportation will be next. Sir, do you swear affirm the testimony provided on this matter will be the truth?
Yes, I do.
Go ahead, please.
Okay. So, the justification to sidewalk provided has a few problems, such as justification for 1A It cites utility poles, utility pedestals along the along with underground utility lines as obstacles that cannot be easily removed. But these are items that would not be required to be moved to place sidewalk. Poles and pedestals are obstacles that would only require 4 foot around to provide ADA pathway. With this said, 1D has sufficient justification along with 2 through 10. I mention this mainly because I just want to make sure that applicants in the future know that power poles, power pedestals, things like that are not considered obstacles to placing sidewalk because you can work around those ones. But you do have sufficient justification using 1D and 2 through 10. So transportation has no objection to this waiver. My second comment we took care of at the beginning, and that was just the leg length and those structures. So overall, transportation has no objection.
Mr. Armijo, thank you. A quick question. I just want to make sure I'm hearing correctly. You in as it relates to the waiver criteria, did you mention that you felt criterion B as in boy or D as in dog was more appropriate?
D as in
D.
dog.
Okay, excellent. Thank you, sir. Mr. Mulhall or any member of the applicant team, any questions to Mr. Armijo about his analysis and his comments on that.
No, this is Ryan with Cartesian. We appreciate sort of the forward-looking guidance on the obstacles that, overhead and other utilities provide isn't necessarily the strongest justification there. And we definitely appreciate that there was more going on here than just that aspect. So we appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, thank you, sir. Appreciate that. Thank you, Mr. Armijo. Ms. Montoya, planning comments, please. Let me swear you in. Swear affirm the testimony provided on this matter will be the truth.
I do.
Thank you so much. Go ahead, please.
So the only comments I did have were pertaining to the structures that are they're trying to put in the easement. The structures that are existing would need to be moved as new lot lines cannot create non-conformities. The structures cannot be crossing lot lines, nor can structures be in the easements. Proof of removal of those structures, including the adobe wall, will need to be shown. And then my other comments just pertain to the final sign-off of the plat, that the Aegis office must approve the DXF file and proof of approval must be provided, add waiver numbers to the plat as well as the dates of approval by the DHO, and add a note to the plat regarding a deviation allowance to the contextual lot size if they are approved. Thank you. And I will place those in the chat box.
So I'll tell you, thank you for that. Mr. Rodenbeck, I see that your hand's up. Just remind you're still under oath, sir.
Thank you, sir. This is Jay Rodenbeck. Okay, I see Anthony got in that condition about the proof of removal of structures. So regarding the deviation request, I just want to make sure, Mr. Hearing Officer, that the applicant went over that deviation request in the hearing. I think we need to have that on the record.
Yes, absolutely. It looks to me, and I, Mr. Mulhall or Ms. Fishman or Ms. Morin, I don't want to put words in your mouth. I am looking at a copy of the justification letter that was provided. If we could just have one of you go over each one of their 10 points that are associated with the waiver criteria, if you could just go over that again, as Mr. Rodenbeck mentioned, just so we've got it on the
Mr.
record.
Hearing Officer, this is Jay Rodenbeck. I not the waiver request. I was referring to the deviation request.
Oh, the deviation. My apologies. And I mixed my terms there.
There's a separate set of criteria for those.
Yes, thank you. So if we could get a member of the applicant team to specify on the deviation request, my apologies for the confusion there initially. We would appreciate it.
So this is Ryan with Cartesian. Yeah, so just to reiterate what that deviation is requesting is the tract one sizing exceeds the contextual maximums that are allowed. But it's necessary to have the lot be this large given the existing residence and the necessary rear setback of 25 feet on that tract one. And so we provided a justification for that deviation, explaining sort of the conflicting standards and that this contextual sizing being less than 10% off from the contextual maximums was preferential to looking for a deviation or variance from an overlay standard like the rear setback, which wouldn't be allowed. And so I can read the deviation justifications if that's necessary, but I wasn't clear on, I guess, if that's necessary or if it was more for the sidewalk that would be necessary.
Mr. Runbeck, you want to specify to Mr. Mulhall which you'd prefer?
This is Jay Rodenbeck. Ryan, I think when we get a deviation request, we need to have it on the record that it was justified by the applicant. So I don't think it hurts to go over those justification criteria and how they were addressed by you.
Okay, so this is Ryan with Cartesian. I'm going to read this out. It'll be a little long. 6-4N3 is the set of standards that you must address in order to identify the deviation request. And so I'm going to read these out one by one. So 6-4N3A. The applicant's site is subject to site constraints not generally shared by surrounding properties, or the site was platted or developed in an unusual pattern, which compared to abutting properties, e.g., the property was developed with orientation or access facing a different street than abutting lots, that would prevent the development of a permissive land use in a type of structure generally found on sites of a similar size in the surrounding area. And so that is the case here. The residence was developed prior to these contextual standards. We are lessening that by getting rid of the tract lines that are currently through the residence. And so, we're improving, a number of DPM and IDO standards by clearing that away. And just that predates 6-4N3B. The site constraints were not created by the actions of the property owner or another interested party. And then, as we said, the development predated these contextual sizing requirements. And so the world kind of changed around us. Not, this wasn't something self-inflicted. 6-4N3C. The request is for a single site and is not part of a pattern of similar requests for adjacent properties or for nearby sites by the same property owner or within the same subdivision framework plan area or master development plan. This request is unique to Tract 1. There are no existing residences or structures on Tracts 2 and 3 that we are looking to keep or get any kind of deviation from. This is solely for the Tract 1. 6-4N3D, the approval of requested deviations will not cause material adverse impacts on surrounding properties. We feel this is true. This is kind of an existing condition. Essentially this tract is, being used as a single property. And removing the tract lot lines that have lots that are significantly smaller than the contextual sizing is an improvement compared to the 10%, that we're exceeding the maximum for our proposed Tract 1. 6-4N3E, the requested deviation is not for an overlay zone standard, and the approval of any requested deviation will not result in a violation of overlay zone standard. That's true. We are addressing a non-overlay standard with the contextual lot sizing. Which is less burdensome than the overlay zone standard of the rear setback that we're required to meet with the lot size from this rear setback. So that addresses all of 6-4N3's conditions. Let me know if there's anything you need to go over again. Thank you.
Ms. Mulhall, thank you for reading that. It saved me from having to do it, so I appreciate that. Mr. Rodenbeck, was there any question? Okay, all right. So let me double check. Last call, last opportunity for any member of city staff or the applicant team to provide comments or have any questions, pose any questions. All right, I'm going to go ahead and close the floor on item number 4. Which is PR 2025-0200072, DHO waiver application number 2025-00029 and minor plat application number 2025-00058. I'm going to go ahead and approve these requests. As Mr. Mulhall just explained, I'm convinced that the deviation request meets the applicable criteria as he read into the record just a few minutes ago. In addition to that, the waiver proposal, I'm going to approve the requested waiver in accordance with the requirements of the IDO because the request complies with the criterion listed in 66P3A1 of the IDO with sufficient evidential support provided in the application and within the record. As mentioned by Mr. Armijo, as well as the applicant team, I am convinced that criterion D of A1 applies, that varying from the normal requirements and standards will encourage flexibility and effective use, flexibility and ingenuity in design of the subdivision in accordance with accepted principles of site planning. Additionally, the request complies with the remaining criteria in 66P3A, which is numbers 2 through 10 of the IDO. Also, I find that there's sufficient evidential support provided in the application and the record to support the following. Number 2, the waiver will not be material contrary to the public safety, health, or welfare. Number 3, the waiver does not cause significant material adverse impacts on surrounding properties. Number 4, the waiver will not hinder future planning, public right-of-way acquisition, or the financing or building of public infrastructure improvements. Number 5, the waiver will not conflict significantly with the goals and provisions of any city, county, or MAFCA adopted plan or policy, the IDO, or any other city code or ordinance. Number 6, the waiver will not allow, encourage, or make possible undesired development in the 100-year floodplain. Number 7, the waiver will not materially undermine the intent and the purpose of the IDO, the applicable zone district, or any applicable overlay zone. Number 8, the waiver does not allow a lot or a type of development that does not meet the applicable development standards for the zone district in which it is located, unless the deviation to such standards is within the thresholds established by subsection 14.16.64P, deviations, and is granted by the DHO as a part of the approval. Number 9, the waiver approved is the minimum necessary to provide redress without being inconsistent with the provisions of IDO subsection 14.16.66P. Number 10, the request, the areas for the area is of low intensity land use to an extent that the normal installation of sidewalks will not contribute to the public welfare, and the absence of a sidewalk will not create a gap in the existing sidewalk system extended to one or more sides of the subject property. That being said, thank you everyone for your participation. Ms. Morin, again, it was good to see you. And we will have a written notice of this decision. Nope, hold on. I forgot minor plat, right? So don't go away just yet. And as it relates to the minor plat application 2025-00058, I'm going to approve agenda item number 4 with those corresponding project and application numbers because the proposal meets the applicable requirements of the IDO, the DPM, and other adopted city regulations. This approval is predicated on the following conditions. Per the planning department, please provide proof of removal of structures, including the adobe wall, will need to be shown prior to final sign-off. Next, prior to final sign-off of the plat, the Albuquerque Geographic Information System Office must approve the DXF file, and proof of approval must be provided. Next, please add waiver numbers to the plat, as well as the dates of approval by the DHO. And lastly, please add a note to the plat regarding deviation allowance to the contextual lot size standards. Now I will say, thank you, folks. Good to see you. And again, we'll have something in writing coming out to you shortly.
Thank you, sir. You have a good day.
Thank you.